I moved from 44-year-old fry cook, basically, to whatever the hell it is I do now, pretty much overnight, on the basis of a memoir where I pretty much fessed up to everything. So there's really, I'm an open book. I've never had a reputation to lose, which is a huge advantage.
That is the voice of Bad Boy Chef Anthony Bourdain, and he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Welcome to today's Super You podcast, a show designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower on the world. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. A lot of you know me as Equal Man. In this show, the reason we started this show was we were getting so many great tips and tricks from people that we have in studio, thought leaders in studio, as well as when I travel to give keynote speeches. I'm blessed to meet a lot of the top thought leaders in the world in the green room. And so what I'm trying to do is give you these tips and tricks to help unlock and unleash your inner superpower. On today's Super You podcast, we have Anthony Bourdain. He's a world famous chef, but he's probably best known for his award-winning TV series, Parts Unknown. So without further ado, we're going to get tip number 1 from Anthony Bourdain.
But I mean, if you're talking about failure, I accepted failure as a chef because I was at various times a bad chef and even a bad person. These days, if I fail, it's because I tried to do something and did not succeed, or I just was not able to do what I hoped to do or wanted to do. Or maybe I tried to do something that just clearly, in retrospect, didn't work. But I would much rather that. I would much rather fail gloriously than not venture, not try.
We talk a ton about failure on the Super You podcast. Almost every guest we have on the show mentions it. I want to unpack this a little bit. So I was backstage, about to go on stage, and Al Gore was presenting in front of me, and he came off the stage, and someone back there goes, "Wow, that was amazing, that presentation." And Al Gore said, "It should be. It's the 2000th time I've given it," meaning that he'd learned each and every time he gave that speech, so he refined it. He failed and kept refining. And as Anthony mentions, Anthony Bourdain, is that when it comes to cooking, you think about that, over time, you just get better at making that signature dish. And by no means am I any form of master chef. I just try to be number one in the household with my daughters. And so when it comes to making a green smoothie, they're like, "Daddy, you make the best green smoothie. How do you do it?" And I've made it 5,000 times. So over time, you refine, you refine, you refine. But it's really about failing. And as I always mention on this show, I forgot where we heard it from first, but failing or stress, if you think about the word stress, that's just the fancy adult term for fear. So just step into that fear and fail. What we don't want to do, which a lot of our guests talk about on the show, the worst thing to do is wake up 20 years from now with regret. You'd rather go for something and fail miserably at it than never do it and just regret not going for it, not knowing 20 years later. As we move on to tip number 2 from Anthony Bourdain, a lot of you may not realize he helped Bradley Cooper, the actor, get his start. Bradley Cooper actually played the bad boy chef Anthony Bourdain himself in a TV series. It only lasts a year, but it helped launch Bradley Cooper's career.
I moved from 44-year-old fry cook, basically, to whatever the hell it is I do now, pretty much overnight, on the basis of a memoir where I pretty much fessed up to everything. So there's really, I'm an open book. I've never had a reputation to lose, which is a huge advantage. I mean, it's an enormously liberating thing when everybody knows all the nasty shit about you already. Nobody can hurt you. You're free to say what you want and have an opinion. It's like, oh yeah, well, you used to be a junkie. Yeah, what else? I've done many bad things in my life, many awful, awful things that I'm not proud of. But I'm not pretending to be. I think it's a matter of age as well. I joke about not giving a fuck being a very good business model for me, but it's true. The absolute certainty that no one was ever going to care about or buy or read Kitchen Confidential was what allowed me to write it. I didn't have to think about what people expected. I didn't care. And as a result, I was able to write this book quickly and without tormenting myself. And that seemed to work out. And I learned from that experience. And I tried very hard to, whether meeting with a group of television executives or telling a story, I don't think about the fans, I don't think about what audiences expect, and I'm not afraid of what will they think of me, or what if they don't like it and I'm not on television anymore. I found that works. I mean, if you don't value your own life, that's taking it to an extreme, people tend to respect or be afraid of that person. You know, the person in a bar fight who clearly has no concern for their own personal health or welfare is a dangerous person. And particularly in television, what people, the television industry, the entertainment industry in general, the thing that everybody, the great unifying factor of television is that everyone who is on television is desperate to stay on television no matter what. You know, anyone who's ever been on Top Chef, it's like, what happens when it's over, you know? So when you're the rare person who walks into a room with some television executive, really don't care.
I love this tip because I think it's one of the hardest things to do in life. I know all you parents listening out there, it's something that you preach to your kids, I'm sure, even though it's something that we as adults always struggle with, is trying to block out that noise. Try to block out that negativity. And I'm talking at the individual level or at the organization level. When you think about these negative online ratings and reviews, the neuroscience actually shows we just get upset and we fixate on that negative review. Even though we might have one negative review and we have 9 positive reviews, we pay all attention to the negative reviews. And from a business standpoint, that's a huge problem because then you're neglecting your best customers. Now, taking a huge step back, when you think about it from an individual perspective, this is what separates the good from the great. And I learned this early on when I was playing basketball in college. Coach Izzo is all about tough love. I love Coach Izzo to death. And he gets a lot of heat in the public eye, especially today when he's in a player's face. And I learned this early on is when he was calling me a piece of garbage in a lot worse, a lot more colorful language. Let me tell you, one of the veterans on the team just pulled me aside because he could tell I was a little bit shaken. And he said, look, don't listen to him when he's yelling and upset and calling you out personally. What you want to key into is why he's yelling at you. Once he does that, once you start to hear that from Coach Izzo, block out all the other stuff. Just listen into how you can improve. That's what's going to separate you and take you to the next level. And that's why Coach Izzo is a Hall of Famer. And along those same lines, you've got to block out that noise on Twitter. You got to block it out, that negativity. Or if you can't block it out, use it as fuel. So I know business people, I know athletes that use it as fuel. When they get that negativity, they go, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong. And so either block it out completely, or if you can't do that, which is super hard to do, then just use it as your fuel. As we move on to tip number 3, this is the man that ate lightly grilled warthog rectum, but I'm going to get this right. I'm going to read it here. Is that Bourdain claims that the chicken McNugget is one of his most stomach-churning foods. Given the choice between reliving the warthog experience and eating a McNugget, I'm surely eating the McNugget, he told the AV Club, but at least I knew what the warthog was. Whereas with the McNugget, I think that's still an open question. Scientists are still wondering.
We did last week, we want to present a moving target. We don't want ever for the network to be able to say,
I think I figured out what the hell it is that you guys are doing. Let's do more of that. Because by the time they figure that out, we will have moved on to something else. So we spent a lot of time sitting around, having a few cocktails, thinking, what is the most fucked up thing we can do? And I don't know which one of you guys said, let's do a food show all in black and white.
Yeah.
That's how good we are. We can make food porn in black and white. And when we started talking about, then we started talking about early neorealist Italian films that, you know, 1% of our audience might have seen. And we went out and did just about the stupidest thing you could do on you know, on travel and food. We made it all black and white show, lit. We never light, but we lit.
Yeah, they said no way. They said that was impossible.
My proudest moment, because it was just so stupid. And it looks so beautiful. And the work you guys did, and the editing, and the music, everything worked exactly better than we could have imagined. It all came together. The first Tuscany show that everybody hates, that was a fun show to make.
When you pioneer, most people should think you are stupid. As Bourdain indicates, we like to mention pioneers always get pushback. That's a signal you're actually pioneering. You don't use old maps to get to new destinations. So remember that if you're not getting that pushback, that's a signal you're not pioneering. It's a signal you're about to get disrupted, or it's a signal you're not going to break through the noise. So remember that pioneers always get pushback. And when you're pioneering, most people should think you're stupid. Here's tip number 4 from the man that got his start as a dishwasher.
When I wrote Kitchen Confidential, that no one was going to read it. And that was both that was a very liberating thing, because I'd never had to think, I didn't have the burden of trying to imagine what people would expect or what they might like or dislike or what the market wanted. I wasn't thinking about any of those things. I had enough, because of this little article, I had an opportunity to tell a story, and I wanted it to be entertaining and legit for people in my industry in the New York area. But this was as far as I thought it was gonna go. And even after TV people started offering me shows, I very much thought I better keep my day job. This can't possibly work out. Yeah. I mean, TV, who gets to have fun on TV?
Yeah.
You know, who gets to make a living writing?
I mean, traveling the world.
I've been in the restaurant business a long time. The restaurant business is, of course, filled with people who think that someday they're going to make a living writing or acting in entertainment somehow. And I knew this was delusional behavior, you know, from 30 years of seeing it up close. So look, it was a big, everything changed. I really think the only thing you can credit me for is that I didn't fuck it all up.
Yeah.
You know, once I got my break, I was 44 at the time, which is probably good, because I would have really made a mess of it if it had happened to me earlier. You know, I recognized that it was late in life.
Yeah.
I caught a big break here. Let's not, you know, let's not do make the usual mistakes.
I love the Seize Your Opportunity story around the co-founders of Airbnb, Brian Chesky and Joe Gibbia. You may recall that they're trying to find interesting ways to raise capital for their startup at the time. And so what they decided to do was to make cereal boxes of presidential candidates. And so they made Obama O's and Captain McCain's, these cereal boxes, and they sold them at the conventions. So they gained a lot of free press, notoriety, raise some capital, but most importantly, they understood, wow, this is our moment in the sun. Let's seize that opportunity to launch Airbnb. Moving on to tip number 5 from our Emmy Award winner, Anthony Bourdain.
Uninhibited creative freedom is something that I've been incredibly fortunate to have for the better part of my entire television career. Unlike anyone else I know of in television, I've been free to do whatever I want, to make the shows I want, anywhere I want, with whom I want, in any style I want. So at first I don't know any other way, and by now I won't have it any other way. Life is good. Why settle for less? And by the same token,
When you're given that much freedom and you have essentially no interference and nothing but support behind you, what you don't want to do is get lazy and bored and sloppy. To me, I'd much rather not make TV at all, or make even unsuccessful TV, than make competent television. You know, it's very easy to make a conventional travel or food show at this point. It's like shooting porn. It's the same shot sequence and the same sort of limited terminology. You know how all of the little pieces work, where you have to start and where you have to end. I detest competent, workmanlike storytelling. And I'm always very, you know, the times that we do that, I'm very unhappy with that. I'd rather fail.
What Bourdain just mentioned holds true for most great artists. There's a popular movie right now that a lot of you have seen called Bohemian Rhapsody. So if you haven't seen that movie, I don't want to be the spoiler, so a spoiler alert, but check it out. Midway through the movie, they're doing their album and they will settle for nothing. They want to break through the mold. They'd rather fail doing an opera type album than to put out just average stuff, where the producer, the music producer goes, no, just go with the tried and true because that's what makes money. And they go, no, we're artists. We want to put something out that's different. And even though opera sounds crazy, that's what we want to launch with. That's why we want to do Bohemian Rhapsody. As we roll into tip number 6, Bourdain and I have affinity for the same restaurant, which my family laments every time we road trip, but we are both lovers of the Waffle House. I love the pecan waffles. I love that it's 24 hours. Fun fact about Waffle House, no locks on the doors because they never, ever close.
I like making things. I'm a guy who should have a project. I mean, when I was a chef, I was clearly somebody who liked multitasking. But I think I like making things, whether it's a TV show, a story, a plate of food. I don't really even need to have it afterwards, the process. I think being a chef, cooking, conditions you to the tiny technical satisfactions of properly executing a single plate, having a kind of a private moment when that plate sits there momentarily in the window before it goes out into the dining room to be ruined, where you look at it and you know you did this particular thing well. It's a very private moment. I think that's been useful in learning to like something so temporary, so fleeting. I think that's been useful in being happy in television and writing. I like the process of the editing process, the pre-production process, the nuts and bolts, the technical satisfaction of putting these pieces and elements together in conjunction with other people, and having one tiny golden moment where you say, hey, that's pretty good.
If you base your happiness on outcomes, you're doomed. You've got to base your happiness and joy on the process. So are you enjoying something? Are you enjoying something in the moment? And success is all about a process. So you've got to continue with that process each and every day. That's one learning we've seen across the board on the Super You podcast, is that success is a process. Moving on to tip number 7, Bourdain, when they shot Parts Unknown, the crew and Bourdain traveled 250 days straight, and there's no sick days. So when Bourdain was sick, he had to eat this unusual food, even though his stomach may have been doing somersaults.
Be open to experience, be willing to try new things, don't have a rigid plan, accept random acts of hospitality without judgment or fear. Don't be afraid to wander, don't be afraid to eat a bad meal. You know, if you don't risk the bad meal, you'll never get the magical one. But I think most important, you know, be humble, be grateful. be aware of the fact that you were probably the stupidest person in the room, as far as you are the least prepared, least equipped person to know who's really in charge and what's really going on.
Accept a favor without fear. I know that sounds crazy that a lot of us wouldn't do that, but I think a lot of us, including myself, whenever we're given a favor, we sometimes go, whoa, what does that person want? And what I've found is that there's just the good outnumber the bad all the time. So accept a favor without fear. And obviously on the inverse of that, be grateful, give. Definitely read Adam Grant's Give and Take, great book on why people that give are actually more successful and happier and healthier. Again, that's Adam Grant's Give and Take. And that's a great one to end on. Attitude of gratitude with tip number 7. And those are 7 super tips from Anthony Bourdain. And here's a summary of those super tips. My favorite tip is tip number 5, but starting with tip number 1. Tip number 1 is it's better to fail than not venture at all. Tip number 2, don't listen to what other people think about you. That's hard to do. Tip number 3, pioneer towards new ideas. Tip number 4, seize your opportunity. Tip number 5, as an artist, don't settle. Remember we gave the example of Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen, and Queen itself didn't want to settle with its album. They pushed the barriers. They pushed that artistic limit. Tip number 6, appreciate the learning process. Tip number 7, don't be afraid to accept a favor and be grateful. That's it for today's Super You podcast. Thanks as always for listening. I'm your host, Equal Man. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss the next episode. We're going to have Brené Brown. She's outstanding. For those power listeners out there, you know it's the second time we have had her on the show. She's our most downloaded show.
Here's what perfectionism really is. It's a way of thinking that says this: if I look perfect, live perfect, work perfect, I can avoid or minimize criticism, blame, and ridicule.
So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, if you could, definitely go and give a rating on iTunes. That allows new listeners to discover us. So it allows someone else to hopefully unlock and unleash their inner superpower. Because this show is all about entertaining, educating, and empowering you to your best life. The one common thread of all of our guests is it's not about being perfect. It's about being the perfect you. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world. It's what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.